So we are going through a series, God Is, and last week we looked at God Is, I Am. And this week, we're continuing this, and we are looking at who is God. And in some ways, his name, or what we call him, says a lot. Last week it was I Am, which means to be, or I exist. I am the one and only, and God gave that name to Moses. And as we go through this series, we're primarily going to be focusing on kind of characteristics of God, who he is, what characteristics he has. But this week, we're going to take a lot of time just to look at God is Jehovah, or God is Yehovah. It's a name of God, and we want to look at this name and see what we can learn from it as we discover a little bit more about who God is. A little background before our reading here is, as we met with Moses last week, and he learned of God. God talked to him from burning bush and wanted to send him back to Egypt to deliver his people out of Egypt. Moses is kind of in that process. He's reluctantly, again, we said he challenged God. He complained. He said, no, God, I can't do it. I can't do it. He protested over and over again. Ultimately, God wins, and he begins to give him kind of a game plan. And so we're going to read here Exodus chapter 6. Verses 1 through 8. It says, then the Lord told Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. When he feels the force of my strong hand, he will let the people go. In fact, he will force them to leave his land. The Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as El Shaddai, God Almighty. But I did not reveal my name, Yahweh, to them. And I reaffirmed my covenant with them. Under its terms, I promised to give them the land of Canaan, where they were living as foreigners. Verse 5. You can be sure that I have heard the groans of the people of Israel, who are now slaves to the Egyptians. And I am well aware of my covenant with them. Therefore, say to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, I am Yahweh. I will free you from your oppressions and will rescue you from your slavery in Egypt. I will redeem you with a powerful arm and great acts of judgment. Verse 7. I will claim you as my own people. I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, Yahweh, who has freed you from your oppression in Egypt. I will bring you into the land I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you as your very own possessions. Jehovah, to Abraham, or to Moses. And it should be a description of who he is. I am the Lord. And I think we've heard this name, or we know this name, Yahweh. So let's dig a little bit into it and what there is in the word. So Yahweh is written in Hebrew, YHWH, all consonants. There's no vowels. In ancient Hebrew, there was no vowels written down. So how in the world did you know how to pronounce a word? How could you speak a word if there was no vowels in it? Well, that was passed down orally. So it was kind of a secret, the writing was. It had the consonants, but how do you actually pronunciate? How do you pronounce the word? Well, that was done by teaching. You heard people speak the name or speak the word. Therefore, you knew how to say the word. But it wasn't written down that way. So technically, as we look at ancient Hebrew texts, we don't know exactly how to pronounce the name Yahweh. Now, YHWH, Jehovah, there's another term for it for those that like to keep notes and do the geeky side of things. It's called a tetragrammaton. A tetragrammaton, which is just a fancy way of saying a four-letter name of God, which is Yahweh. A tetragrammaton is the name Yahweh. And again, there's no vowels in it. So did we lose the pronunciation? Do we not know how to speak this name of Yahweh? Well, traditionally, historically, we see that the Hebrew people or the Jewish people seem to have stopped using the name Yahweh. And this may have happened just before captivity. So God's people, Israel, Judah, God's people, the Jewish people, things were going bad. They were going south. And eventually they were taken out of captivity. And history kind of shows us that before that time, they began to stop using this name of Yahweh. but precious place. God's place where God was holy, or God would present his presence to the people. But to be in the temple, you had to be a Jewish person, or within a certain courts. You had to be a Jewish person. And so history kind of shows us that outside the temple, they would not use the name Yahweh. They'd use another name, maybe El Shaddai, Elohim. But when you were in the temple, in the courts, with just the Jewish people, you would use the name Yahweh. Therefore, the secret wouldn't be let out of how do you actually pronounce this name. It's also believed that they did this because they didn't want the heathens saying this name. They didn't want them to have the power of the name Yahweh. And we find that in other historical writings of heathen nations, specifically their magicians or their wise men, who thought that if they could find the actual pronunciation of Yahweh, it would have some sort of magical power to them. Who knows? Maybe it was true. And so they would see it just kind of quit being used under the Roman rule. When the Romans took over the world, at some point they actually instituted Christianity as the religion. And when they did, they had to choose wisely what name to use. Now remember, when Romans took over the world, they had all sorts of cultures and all sorts of people and languages. And so they used a generic form of God. Even though it was the Christian God, Yahweh, they used a generic form of the word God because they wanted to appease everyone. And so that name Yahweh kind of disappeared throughout history. So it seems that this secret of how to pronounce Yahweh has kind of disappeared over time. So do we actually know how to pronounce it? Is it important? Well, a story that was shared with me, my previous pastor in Wapaka, Pastor Thompson, before he was a pastor, he was in the military. He was a chaplain, and I served, I believe, in San Diego. And he was under a head chaplain when he was stationed there. And that chaplain happened to be from him. And in that learning, one time I think he tells a story. He was kind of joking, kind of going, "Well, if you Jews have this all together, how come you forgot how to pronounce the name of Yahweh?" And the rabbi goes, "We didn't." "You mean you know exactly how to pronounce it?" "Oh, yeah. It's very simple." "Well, then how do you pronounce the name of Yahweh?" And the rabbi goes, "Yeah. Yeah. He breathes. How do you spell a breath?" Isn't there a verse about that? Psalms 150, verse 2. "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." With our very breath, we are speaking the name of God. Yeah. How would you spell a breath? YH? WH? Very well could be. And is that a pretty precious name? One day, every breath that we breathe, we are speaking the name of God. That's a pretty cool name. And I think there's power in that name, because if you don't speak the name of Yahweh, what happens? You stop breathing. So Moses is given this awesome name of God, Yahweh, YHWH, Jehovah, or simply a breath. He's given this. And Jehovah, Yahweh, it means the existing one, which we kind of talked about last week in God saying, "I am, I am. I exist." God is the only one. Jehovah is the only one. He's the existing one. But the Bible shows us a little bit more to that name, Yahweh, Jehovah. And we're going to get into that. We're going to look at this name of Jehovah. Let's talk about names. I talk about from time to time a certain gentleman that's important in my life. I call him Dad. His name is Robert Buck, but I call him Dad. Now, that wasn't his name. That wasn't what he was known for. He was known as Son. "Here's your son." As they delivered the son, well, they didn't do it. I think he was born in eventually what would have been the bathroom of their farmhouse in Hazleton, North Dakota. I think he was born in the home. But they had a son. He was a son of Russell and Fern Buck. So his first time he came alive, his name was a son. He was also a brother. He had an older sister, so he was a son and brother instantly. But eventually, he's given a name, right? And names are kind of important. Names have meaning. And so they named him Robert Alvin Buck, which actually isn't completely true. I believe my grandpa's name, Russell, his middle name was Albin with a B, and I believe it was some form of a family name. And so when they told the nurse what his name was, Russell Alvin Buck, or Robert Alvin Buck, they thought they misheard or they misspoke, and so they changed it to Alvin. So my dad's middle name isn't really what was given to him. But those names had meaning, Robert Alvin, because it with it carries a heritage, carries a family. If you say your last name, some people recognize what that means. Names have meaning. And his Christian name, Robert, has meaning. Robert means bright fame. And Robert is one of those unique names that can have a bunch of names, right? You've got Robert, you got Rob, you got Robbie, you got Bobby, you got Bob. My mom, I think, is the only person who calls him Bobby. No one else calls him Bobby. That's kind of unique to my mom. That's how she knows him. That's the name she uses for Robert Buck. Eventually, he's known as a husband, a new name given to him. Eventually, a name given to him as dad or daddy or papa or father. Eventually, he becomes a reverend or a pastor. These are all names of Robert Buck. And a name is simply, who is he to you? We all may know him or know different people differently. We use different names. Some of you, if you were to talk about my dad, you might say, Pastor Jason, to you, who is God to you? And God gives us the name Jehovah, the existing one, Yahweh, the breath. But as we go through Scripture, we see some expanding of this. One thing you need to know about Jehovah or Yahweh is many times in the Bible, as we just read in Exodus, he said, I'm Yahweh. And then from there on, it said, I am the Lord God. I am the Lord God. And you'll find in Scripture, depending upon your version, sometimes you'll see the word Lord in all four capital letters. And that refers to God the Father, so to speak. There's a scripture in Psalms 110, verse 1. It just simply starts by saying, the Lord said to my Lord. And if you notice that, the Lord is in all caps. And then the second Lord is just capital on the L. And that's God the Father speaking to God the Son. That's Jesus Christ. And this is David, who is also a Lord, but he's a small L. He's an earthly Lord. And so many times in Scripture, when you see the Lord in all caps, it's referring to Yahweh. That's the name that you are reading. But again, that name has meaning. But that would be the beginning, is Lord or Yahweh. And many times another name was attached to it to give you a better understanding of who God was or who he is. And I'm going to give you a little reference or an idea to that. Now, I'm not trying to take away the reverence of this name, but are you familiar with, do you use nicknames? What's a nickname? A nickname is kind of a term of endearment, typically. It's something you use to share of someone that you know. Maybe you have a nickname or you've given nicknames. At my previous church, on the softball field, I was known as Jay Bucky. One of the teenagers in my youth group came up with it. And so when I was on the diamond, they'd call me Jay Bucky. They wouldn't call me Jay. Maybe you give nicknames to your kids or family. My daughter, for a while, we used a nickname. And her little brother, who was having a hard time learning to speak, gave her a nickname. He couldn't pronounce Kaylee. So he said, Kiki. And so we'd call Kaylee Kiki from time to time. Now, my son Isaiah, which Isaiah is interesting. It actually means Yahweh is Lord, or Jehovah saves, or Jehovah has saved. I knew that, so we had Kaylee, Andrew, you know, those two syllables. One syllable, two syllables are really important for parents, right? Because we got to bark out that name really quick. My mom would call me Jay or Jason. Every once in a while, if I was a little bit in trouble, she'd say Jason Robert. And if I was in real trouble, it would be Jason Robert Buck, you know. So, but sometimes you got to speak out the name real quick. And Isaiah, three syllables, that's too many. So I'm like, when he was very young, I need a nickname for my son. And back in the day, I was a big Michael Jordan fan. And there was a certain competitor, a guy he was against all the time. His name was Isaiah Todd, a nickname. And it was Zeke. And so even to this day, I call my son Zeke. I'm about the only one who really does it. My family does from time to time. But it's really easy to slip off the tongue as opposed to Isaiah. So there's nicknames. And in essence, in the Bible, we find nicknames for God. Who is God to you? Kids, your question on the back is that, back of your coloring, is who is God? And I might ask, what's your nickname for God? And again, we're not trying to take away the reverence of the name, but who is God to you? All of us, we have a perspective, and this comes out in Scripture, of these different nicknames, so to speak, of God. So the first name we look at is Jehovah Nissi, something that you've probably never spoken, but Jehovah Nissi. Now, the build-up to this is after they had left Egypt, they had to fight the Amalekites, which God really didn't like the Amalekites. And God spoke to Moses, said, take your staff. He's up on this hill, and Joshua the general is fighting, and Moses holds this the staff above his head. And when he does, Joshua wins. But then his arms get tired. And so I believe it was Aaron and Caleb go and they lift up his arms. And they had great victory. And so we read in Exodus chapter 17, verses 14 through 16. It says, after the victory, the Lord instructed Moses, write down on a scroll a permanent reminder and read it aloud to Joshua. And here it is. I will erase the memory of Amalek from under heaven. Verse 15, Moses built an altar there and named it Yahweh Nissi, Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord is my banner. He said, they have raised their fist against the Lord's throne, so now the Lord will be at war with Amalek generation after generation. Jehovah Nissi, which simply means the Lord is my banner. We don't use banners very much in would describe what team you were on. It was a rallying place. It was like a flag. And so maybe your army would have certain colors. Your army would have a certain banner, you know, the banner of the Hebrew people. But many times you'd break it up into companies or squads. And when you were battling, sometimes you'd hear a horn or some drums and you'd focus your attention. A lot of times you'd have to rally to your banner, that place that was your place. And it could be known as a refuge. This is where we come together and we are stronger. It's known as my team. Many of us, we have our teams that we go for. And so what was my team? I think even in the house of God, we have a certain banner many times in churches, which would be a cross, so to speak. But then there's different banners, there's different teams. We here, we're the team of Grace Community Church. We're part of a greater army of God, a greater family of God, but this is our local family, and we have a banner. But my question is, what banner do you run under? Last week, we sang a song, a great song, As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Is that the banner you put over your house? Do people know it when they walk into your home that you are under the banner of Jesus Christ? You are under the banner of Yahweh? Under God? What banner do you run under? God says, I'm the banner. Run to me. Let me be your refuge. Next we have Jehovah Rohi, or Jehovah Ra'a. And we get this from Psalms 23. I think you might know this scripture. Just reading the beginning of it. Psalms 23, verse 1. Simply says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. So Jehovah Rohi, or Ra'a, is the Lord is my shepherd. That's what we read, the Lord is my shepherd. But in Hebrew, it's written Jehovah Rohi. What is a shepherd? My God takes care. David was a king, but before that, what was he? He was a shepherd. And one day, I have a feeling he's sitting on a rock, playing with his sling, holding a staff maybe, and the sheep are going around. And he's like, I like being a shepherd, taking care of these sheep. And he probably had this thought. And God spoke to him. And he concluded, God, you're my shepherd. You protect me. You feed me. You lead me. You guide me. You take care of me or heal me. You lead me to waters. You're my defender. God, you're my shepherd. To David, that's his nickname for God. That's how he viewed God. Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Rohi. He's my shepherd. He takes care of me. So I ask you, who takes care of you?
Oh, my mom takes care of me. My wife takes care of me.
Well, you might have some people who care for you here on earth. But who ultimately is your defender? Who ultimately takes care of you? Is that how you view God? Is he your Jehovah Rohi? The Hebrew people had just left the Red Sea. Moses led them through the waters. And for 3 days, the Bible says they wandered around and they couldn't find any water to drink. And so they're stumbling around the desert. They're getting parched and they're getting a little bit ornery. And after 3 days, they find some water and they call it Marah, which I believe means bitterness. Someone tried it and they're like, we can't drink this water. Figures, we can't find water for 3 days. When we ultimately do, we can't even drink it. And they started to grumble. They started to get upset. And we read in Exodus chapter 15, verses 24 through 26. It says, then the people complained and turned against Moses. What are we going to drink? They demanded. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help. And the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Okay, everyone open up your ears. Okay, it's a different story, but I think God wants to speak to us today. The Lord showed him a piece of wood, and Moses threw it into the water, and this made the water good to drink. A chunk of wood. Keep listening. It was there at Marah, bitterness, that the Lord set before them the following decree as a standard to test their faithfulness to him. He said, open your ears, okay? If you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God, listen to God. This is what Moses is saying. This is important to prove your faithfulness to the Lord. Listen carefully to the voice of your God and do what is right in his sight. Do what is just. Do what is moral in God's sight, not your own. Obeying his commands and keeping his decrees. Read the word, follow it, obey the Ten Commandments. Then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. The Lord who heals you is Jehovah Rapha. I could make a statement. I'm probably going to get some comments back and some emails and texts and sort of stuff. I'm just stir the pot a little bit here. Just open your minds for a second. Where does your healing come from? Some of you have gone through cancer. You've done chemo or radiation or medications. And you can say, I'm healed. The doctor put me on this regimen, and now it's in remission. I've been healed. Some of you, oh, vitamin C. I love my vitamin C, my zinc, and my D, and my B12, and whatever it is. Oh, have you tried this protein shake? It's really good. 7 Steps. This is the best book ever. I love the Atkins diet or the keto diet sort of thing. I work out. I walk, let's see, at 3,971 steps so far today. You know, I got to get my walking in. I do cross-country skiing, okay? You know, oh, I use that thing that what do you breathe in? You shove water up your nose sort of thing, okay? Hear me. Your healing comes from a chunk of wood. Pick whatever it is that you think heals you. It's a chunk of wood. Have I upset you yet? Oh, Pastor, what are you saying? I shouldn't go to the doctor? A doctor healed me. My appendix was about to rupture. They took it out. It was a chunk of wood, not the appendix. The healing. The doctor was a chunk of wood. It was a means to bring about healing. If God is leading you to a doctor, if you are listening to the voice of God and you are obeying his commands, and God says, listen to the doctor. Listen to the doctor. I think we sense that. We believe that. When he came in, we're both like, yes. God brought healing. Amen? If God leads you to that, if you're reading some book and, oh, I got to do my zinc. I'm going to do zinc. Hey, I do D and zinc like all the time. That it's worthless. But it is a chunk of wood. The healing doesn't come from the tablet. The healing does not come from the vaccination. The healing does not come from hydroxychloroquine. It is a chunk of wood. The healing comes from God. And he uses different things to bring healing. And so when you're feeling under the weather or you're going through some great physical thing and you come out of it on the other side, you start going, oh, everyone's got to try apricot seed, vitamin B17 or something like that. This is the cure. No, it's not. It's obedience to God, and God brings healing through wood. Why? Because God exists. God created everything. And if he wants to use a chunk of wood or a doctor or a pill or walking or giving up bad things, giving up sugar or alcohol or smoking, if that's what he says and you obey it and healing comes, where does your healing come from? And I think it's an important attitude we should have. That God heals me, not this stuff. Still love me? Does that make sense? All right. I lost my place. Jehovah Shema. Ezekiel was a major prophet, and he was kind of during captivity or before captivity. And God gave him a vision of the future of the land of Israel, what it was going to look like after they came back from captivity. And Ezekiel shares this in Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 35. Again, God's describing the future land. It says, the distance around the entire city will be 6 miles. And from that day, the name of the city will be The Lord Is There. Jehovah Shema. The Lord is there. God, I can't do it. I can't do it. And God said, Moses, I'll be with you. I'll be there. Sounds like an 80s song rattling through my brain right now. God will be there. Do you believe that? We just got done with a number of sermons and talking about, again, last week, God says, I'll be there. We were talking about Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. God, I'm going to be there. I'm there. That's who God is. He will be there. Had a bit of a rough week. A lot of things happened this week. Some hard things. Right in home, all the way to this nation. A missionary friend of mine, dear to me. His eldest daughter passed away unexpectedly this week. They're missionaries in Mexico. And I believe she's was a worship leader. Beautiful young soul. Just a few years younger than me. But I think he just posted recently. He said he woke up or he heard, he sensed he had this opportunity for his daughter to whisper into his ears. He said, Dad, don't worry. For up here, everyone's singing. And they're all in tune. And it was enough for him to go, ah. Where was God when she passed away? He was there. Sometimes the outcome isn't what we want. Sometimes it's difficult. I could list again this week 4 or 5 things that are really, really hard. And some of them you're aware of. Where is God? He's there. God is there. Do you believe it? Do you know your Jehovah Shema? Do you believe he's there? Because he is. Jehovah Tsidkenu. Don't ask how to spell that. Starts with a T. Jehovah Tsidkenu. Israel coming out of captivity, coming back to the land. In Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 14 through 16. It says, the day will come, says the Lord, Yahweh, that I will do for Israel and Judah all the good things I've promised them. In those days, at the time, I will raise up a righteous descendant from King David's line. He will do what is just and right throughout the land. In that day, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety, and this will be its name. The Lord is our righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord is our righteousness. What is righteousness? What is to be righteous? It means to be upright, to be just, to be morally right. Our nation so strongly needs right now righteousness. Where does righteousness come from? Where does your righteousness, your goodness, your moral, your justness, where does it come from? Well, my good works. I've been good. I've been on good behavior. I do good things. I don't do from your efforts or your good works. You can have a spotless driving record like some people I know. Is it because of my good efforts? Well, driving maybe. But your righteousness, your holiness, where does it come from? Yes, you can live a good life and do things well, but righteousness comes from God. Righteousness comes from the Lord. If we stand on our little mound of good deeds, it's going to crumble. But when we stand upon the mountain, the rock of Jesus Christ, when we stand upon God, Jehovah, Sikkenu, our righteousness comes from God. When we go to heaven and God says, am I going to let you in? We can't show him, well, here's my receipt of all the good things I did. Our righteousness needs to come from God through Jesus Christ. Jehovah's going to read it, and you're not going to like it. So be prepared. This comes from Leviticus chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. The Lord said to Moses, give the people of Israel these instructions, which apply both to native Israelites and to foreigners living in the land, in Israel. I would say this goes to Jewish people and to Gentiles. This is for everybody. If any of them offer their children as a sacrifice to Molech, they must be put to death. We're going to get to a name of God. Okay? But he's saying, if you put children to death in the name of fill in the blank, well, I'm not prepared for. I wasn't ready for. It's my choice. If you sacrifice a child in the name of whatever God you choose, in the Old Testament, they say they must be put to death. What does that mean? God takes this pretty seriously. This is pretty important. Again, you're not going to like this. Let's keep reading. The people of the community must stone them to the death. The people around those people need to take this seriously. Take it upon themselves to get rid of this attitude, this mindset. Verse 3, I myself, God, will turn against them and cut them off from the community. If we don't take this seriously, God's going to say, that's it. I'm severing this relationship. I'm cutting myself off from your community. Because they have defiled my sanctuary and brought shame on my holy name by offering their children to Molech, and refused to execute them, I myself will turn against them and their families and cut them off from the community. So not only those that are offering the sacrifice, that are sacrificing innocent children, God will turn from them, but for those that are like, you know, well, what can you do? God says, I'm turning my back on you. This is important. This is serious. This will happen to all commit spiritual prostitution by worshiping Molech. When you take your heart and you worship something other than God, spiritual prostitution. Verse 6, I will turn against those who commit spiritual prostitution by putting their trust in mediums or in those who consult spirits of the dead. God's going to turn his back on those who take their guidance in life by other means other than Yahweh. God is going to reject and turn his back on them. Verse 7. So what do? So set yourself apart to be holy. Here's the crummy crowd. Set yourself apart from them. Flee from that. Get away from that. For I am the Lord. I am Yahweh, your God. Keep all my decrees by putting them into practice. For I am the Lord who makes you holy. Jehovah Mikdash, The Lord makes you holy. God takes some things pretty seriously. He takes everything pretty seriously. And some things we're kind of lighthearted about. And I believe maybe even our nation, what we're seeing is God saying, I've had it with you. All of you. All of you. Because there is this group that's doing this detestable thing. And here's this other group that goes, I'll wait till next election to fix it. God's like, this is detestable. This is horrible. And God is saying, keep my decrees and put them into practice. But I am the Lord who makes you holy. God makes you holy. How do we get this attitude of spiritual prostitution? How do we get this wrong attitude of following other gods, following other things? How do we get it out of us? How do we get ourselves cleansed and holy? By washing daily in the Word of God. By praying, by seeking the Lord, by being obedient. And honestly, there is one other way that we can be made holy. And that's when difficult times come upon us, where we are stuck and we are stressed and we are pulling our hair out because we don't know what's going on. We are in a difficult time and we finally get to that point where we bow that knee and we go, God, oh, I need you. God, we need you. God, I'm sorry for me. I'm sorry for my family. I'm sorry for my nation. When we finally get to that point where we repent and truly mean it, God says, be holy. God washes us in his holiness. God lifts us up and we turn around and we go back. The fruit of our heart is holiness. Only possible through the blood and the washing of Jesus Christ our Lord. I believe our nation is going through a difficult time and God is calling this nation to repent. And it doesn't start with them and those other guys and those people. It starts with you. If I had time, we'd go through Jehovah Jireh, Genesis chapter 22, verse 14. God is my provider. He's the one that gives me stimulus checks. Whatever I need. He's the one that pays for my lunch, pay it forward, whatever they call that. God is our provider. He's the one that allows me to breathe. Jehovah Shalom, Judges 6, verse 24. God is my peace. You will find peace nowhere else. It's not on in your favorite book, on your Xbox. It's not out fishing. It's not in that conversation. It's not the third cup of coffee. Your peace comes from Psalms 46:7, the Lord of hosts. You in what army? The army of God. He is the Lord of hosts and he is our fortress. And we should run into him because he's stronger than anything created. Why? Because he wasn't created. He is our Lord. He is Jehovah. He is Yahweh. So I ask you in conclusion, who is God to you? God is my peace. As we read in Matthew during worship, blessed are the peacemakers. It's like a calling to my life. I desire to bring peace. And it doesn't come through me and my witty humor and my understanding of the word. The peace that I have to offer is not my own. Comes from my Heavenly Father. God is with me. That's all I need to know. Do you have a nickname for him? What has he done for you? God is your healer. Not from cancer, from depression, from anything. And one day we're going to have the ultimate healing, which this thing is gone and we're in his presence. Who is God to you? And like unlike the Jewish people, don't keep it secret in this sanctuary, in this temple. You go there to the outer courts. You go there into the city, and you declare Yahweh. You declare to people who God is to you, because they need to hear it. God is righteousness and God is holy. This world needs to hear it, and they hear it from you. Who is God to you? Jehovah, Yahweh. Every day, Lord, and I love you as I read through your word. And this week was a hard week, Lord, because I read other things and it brings me down. Lord, I hear of other things going on and it crushes my spirit, it crushes my heart, but I go straight back to your word and I read about who you are. And who you are is greater than all these things. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that we learn more of you every day. And, Lord, that our understanding of who you are is greater than any circumstance that comes our way. Father, I don't know the outcome of this chapter we're all living in, both individually and in a community and in a nation. Lord, I don't know the outcome, but I know you're at the end of it. You are the period at the end of that sentence, at the end of that chapter. Lord, you are the final, and I want to be on your side. I want to be with you. So today I worship you, I praise you, I lift you high, I honor you. Lord, I want to follow your decrees, I want to read your word, I want to be obedient to you, I want to hear your voice. Father, I want to reject and have that my sight, Lord, put that in my spirit, put that in my heart. Lord, I want to be holy by you, I want to be made righteous by you. And Father, I want to call you my friend, I want to call you Nisi and Siknu, Mikadesh, Rohi and Jaira, Lord, because all these things are true. You are that to me. You are that to us. So, Father, we worship you today, and we thank you for who you are, because it helps. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.